Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sugrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSugrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
And that is us for a Monday evening. Welcome in as we take you up until 10 o'clock. Larry Bluestein on your ride home from wherever you may be on this Monday. Kind of warm. I mean, it doesn't signal February to me, you know, almost coming into March. But I know we're supposed to get a little bit cooler, but before we do, it's going to get a lot warmer. So it's crazy, but that's why we live here. I look at different areas of the country, Cincinnati, Louisville, Kentucky, in that same little area have had so much flooding from melting ice. We don't get that. We do get great weather all the time, and certainly high school sports and high school football year-round. Doesn't stop. Huge 2 hours. If you're on your way home, make plans when you get there to tune us in, because both hours will be loaded with people that you want to hear. Different walks of life in football, in particular. In this first hour, about 8:45 or so, we'll hook in with Dennis Mariquin. If you remember, he was a defending state champion at Champagnat Catholic. He stepped down, but he still has the Florida fire, and that he took over 100 kids and coaches to Las Vegas for the weekend to play in a tournament, and did darn well with all of his teams. I think the 15 and under team won it all. And this is out of over 100 teams from basically around the country. We'll tune in with him about 8:45 or so. 8:30, Coach Butch Davis from FIU will join us. We'll talk about this class of 2018 crop that he just got in. Certainly two really good recruiting classes, and that's where they have to be. And we talked about this. If they continue to recruit with South Florida in mind, you can get other kids from around the state or even the country if you'd like. But it's got to be a heavy dose of South Florida kids, and that's what they've done. We'll talk to Coach Davis about 8:30. At 8:20, Coach Travis Harden is the new head coach. Last week we had seven new head coaches on. Forgot to get Travis in the mix, but we'll have him. Stranahan, always a very competitive program up in Fort Lauderdale. We'll talk to him as well. And just a couple of minutes or so, we're going to hook in with Tyler Goodman, who's a senior quarterback at Parkland Douglas. You know that it's not been an easy 12 days in that area or for Tyler. But he has some good news in all of this, and we'll share that with all of you as well. And we'll talk to Tyler as the entire country definitely heals, and they will see the Douglas students go back to school on Wednesday, kind of like for the rest of the week, just kind of talk about things, and that's what that's going to be all about, and try to put some normalcy back in this deal. So that's our first hour. The second hour tonight, just as impressive. We're talking about that situation with Parkland. Dan Jacob is the athletic director at Coral Springs, which is right next door. He's been there for 30 plus years. He knows everybody with Douglas. It's their rival. And we'll talk to him about that. His also wrestling. This is a state championship wrestling week. And it's loaded. We have 125 kids going to the state wrestling team. A lot of football players. Our state wrestling tournament up in Kissimmee at the end of the week. A lot of football players in that mix. We'll talk to Dan about 9:45. Coach Chris Bowden from ASA Miami. We talked to him last couple of years. We'll check in with him as he heads to the spring of his class of 2018. the 2018 season. Good program, you know, to roster that is really slanted to South Florida, loaded with a lot of talent, and we'll check in with him as well. Josh Wilson from Florida High School Football just came out with his All-Star team. So we'll have an opportunity to pick his brain a little bit. Did a great job. I mean, every time you make a list, you're always going to leave one or two people off of the mix. So it's never easy to get them right, but Josh has to do the entire state, and we'll talk to him about 9:20. And about the second hour, we'll begin that 9:05 segment with one of the players who's just blown up over the last year, 12, 13 months. Deshaun Perry is a defensive end at Miami's Gulliver Prep. We'll talk to him as well to start the 9 o'clock hour. But as we mentioned, Tyler Goodman, who's a three-year starter, did everything expected of him. Great grades in the classroom, a leader on the football field. Came into a couple weeks ago without any real offers or an opportunity to further his career at the next level. And through the tragedy at Douglas High School, Tyler and six of his teammates went to that Orange Bowl showcase, and certainly it was meant to be that they went, and Tyler achieved a scholarship. He joins us this evening. Tyler, thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem.
I know that through everything that's gone on over the last 13 days, the one thing that's been that bright light is how, you know, just in the four days after this tragedy happened, you and six teammates, Coach May, went to the Orange Bowl showcase, and you guys put on a performance like no other. I mean, you were all sharp. You, as a quarterback, hit everything that wasn't moving and did an awesome job, gave you a lot more confidence, and then we find out that you do commit to Nichols in Massachusetts. I mean, this whole, I mean, for an adult, it's hard to put into perspective, but for somebody that's 17, 18 years old like yourself, it's almost crazy. But talk about how things have worked out. I mean, getting an opportunity to go to college, something that you've dreamed of since you were a young kid.
After the tragedy, you know, Friday night, we all went to Coach Spicer's vigil. And, you know, me and the six kids that were going to go, we were sitting there talking to Coach May. And we were just like, Coach, we don't know. Like, it was a long night. We were like, Coach, we really don't know if we can do this or not. He goes, all right, just let me know. And we were in a group chat. And he was like, so are you guys in for it? And we all came to agreement. We were like, yeah, let's do it. And so we went, we balled out, we did what Coach Feist would want us to do. And, you know, my commitment to Nichols, you know, it was kind of like the coaches were locked up with me in the Coach May's office during the shooting. And I kind of formed a bond with them. And so when I took my visit, you know, I saw Coach Ryan. He gave me a huge hug. He was there. And Paul Bauer, who was the chief of admissions, you know, came running up to me, gave me a hug, and was so glad to see me. And I took a visit. I loved the campus. I loved everything up there. And they took us to a basketball game that night, and I walked up to the head coach, Coach Olmstead, and I was like, Coach, this is where I want to spend my next 4 years.
Nice. And what a, you know, what a whirlwind for you. I mean, to go through in your head. I mean, and you hear this from everybody, Tyler, that anywhere else but here. I mean, you know, you look at it in the Parkland. What a great area. I mean, just and that was kind of the theme through the entire thing. And for you guys, and I've known, you know, Coach May, and I was there the day that Douglas played their first game and ever. And I just remember this saying to myself, this is a community that's going to really wrap itself around the school. And it has. I mean, and that's why, I mean, not to minimize anything that goes on any other place in the world, but I mean, this is a community-based school. You live in Parkland for the most part. You go to Douglas.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in my opinion, we're closer than anything, you know. And, I mean, some of the kids that I've gone to high school with, you know, some of the kids I've played football with, you know, are going to be my brothers for life.
Right.
Because that's just how tight we are. And when it happened, you know, I have so many close friends that I was just calling, just making sure they're okay. And, you know, and losing Joaquin Oliver, who I've known since the fourth grade, just, you know, that killed me inside. And then finding out that, you know, Coach Feist was gone, it was just a lot. You know, it was just a lot of pressure. And when you're 18 years old,
no doubt,
you don't need that kind of
pressure. No doubt.
You're looking to, you know, spread your wings, go to college.
No doubt.
And instead, you go to more funerals in a week than...
than people do in a lifetime. And it's, you know, I'll tell you, Tyler, that's the part that angers me most inside. I mean, you're robbing kids of being children. I mean, and that should not be. And that's a great point that you made. And I hope everybody understands that. I mean, this is not a normal thing for a young man to go through, to go to 16, 17 viewings and funerals. You don't do that. I mean, that's not what this life is made for. And certainly what you guys endured over the last, like I said, 12, 13 days is a lifetime for many, and certainly because of the connection. And as you mentioned with Joaquin Oliver and anybody, I mean, anybody, and we talk about Coach Feist and Mr. Hickson, who I've known forever. I mean, you know, those people right there have influenced people. And that's the one thing that I take away from this. You always wonder how people would do under adverse conditions or conditions that they have basically no knowledge of or control of. And you saw what Feist did. You saw what Hickson did. You saw what every one of those kids did. And that to me, I think that kind of encompasses everything. So when you're during the process and the healing process, the one thing that I always look at, Tyler, is you have to understand, and you have to understand that what happened happened, but the way it happened and how these people responded will forever be ingrained in the minds of everybody. And I think that's something that's getting lost in all this. It's an amazing act. I mean, for anybody who had to go through it, and certainly for yourself and heading out to that showcase, I saw it in your eyes. I saw everyone, talked to Bradley Vilsaint. I talked to basically, you know, all the kids that came out there that day. And for some reason, every time I looked at you, you had that, you know, I mean, I'm here for a reason. And you showed it. I mean, I've watched you play plenty, but I thought on that day you were, and even I think that Brady Quinn even said something, you know, about the way you were throwing. And that's got to be a great compliment for you. Talk about that and how you feel now going into college and getting ready to compete as a freshman.
Well, I mean, going into that showcase, you know, I was kind of down. I really didn't want to be there.
Right.
But it was Feist up top. You know, I can just hear him just going, look, do what you do. Just do what you do. So I went out there, and something hit me, and I just completely just went off, you know. And talking about Brady Quinn, I mean, he walked up to me before he left, you know, before the end of the 7-on-7s. And he walked up to me, he goes, Tyler, I didn't realize who you were. You know, your footwork's great. Everything you've been doing today is just phenomenal.
Nice.
I'm so glad I got to work with you and meet you. And I hope for the best. And I was like, wow, Brady Quinn just said that to me. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And and I kind of, you know, I'm kind of keeping that drive, you know, when I work out and I go through, I still have that drive that I had that day.
Yeah,
and I was talking to head coach Olmstead on Nichols, and he goes, you know, we're going to bring some kids in. And I was like, Coach, you can bring in whoever you want. So I'm going to earn that spot, and I'm going to start as a freshman. He goes, that's all I wanted to hear.
Nice.
And so when I go into college, I mean, I'm not going to lose that mindset. You know, I've been a fighter pretty much my whole life. I fought for almost everything that I've gotten. And I'm just going to keep on going until the day I die.
Yeah. No. Hey, listen, most definitely. And when you were talking about Feist, I remember he used to always grab me to the side when talking about you, and you go, keep watching him. He's going to mature. He's going to be something special. So kind of a prophet in that way. You have become just an amazing all-around quarterback, not only from the, you know, but your fact, the thing that I've always said, I tell your dad, I told May, that the thing that I think the strongest part of your game is your ability to think. And you see, you don't want to make mistakes, and your leadership out there is getting better and better. And I think that's huge. So I just wanted to make sure that I let everybody kind of know where we sit with you. Congratulations on a just a, so much hard work, and I know you put in a lot of hard work, and it's paying off. We'll go to Massachusetts, get some good weather, and sometimes. And but I just want to say it was a pleasure watching you, and I couldn't be more happier for you and your family and the entire Douglas family.
Thank you, Larry. I'm going to miss you the most, man. Just seeing you just stand on the sidelines. You look at me like, you better come say hi to me. I'm going to get mad.
Well, listen, I want to hear. I'm sure your dad and you will let me know how you're doing, and we'll talk to you soon. And again, just do what you guys have been doing. I mean, just keep thinking positive thoughts and, you know, go back to school on Wednesday and just kind of get, you know, orientated with everything and everybody. And I know the teachers are doing that now. So when you guys get back, they'll be ready and willing to do whatever you need.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Tyler. Tyler Goodman, on his way to Nichols in Massachusetts, from Douglas High School, senior. And, I mean, And I told you this last week, you just can't wrap your arms around that situation. It's just impossible. I watched so many of the parents and so many of the kids on TV, and it's just so heart-wrenching, and we just got to listen, and that's the important part. Huge show coming up when we come back. We got Coach Travis Harden from Stranahan, Coach Butch Davis at 7:30. At 8:30. We'll be right back.
Radio.com.
Johnny Manziel, 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day.
Back with you on the South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, as we take you up until 10 o'clock this evening. Thanks to Tyler Goodman, a senior quarterback at Douglas High School. And as we talk with him and just what he's gone through and what everybody's gone through over the last 12 days, but for him to end up with a scholarship, what a tremendous, tremendous thing for him. As we said before, we were going to have Coach Travis Harden. He'll be in the next segment, but we're just glad to have Coach Butch Davis at FIU. What a first year this past year, and a winning season, bowl game, and not mostly a tremendous recruiting class both years. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. It's good to be with you.
It's what an exciting time. I mean, we sat there last spring and looked at the roster, and knowing that you had a first class that kind of turned things around, but there were 52 players on that roster north of Palm Beach. And I said to myself, you know, just shaking my head, I said, there's no way. I mean, they're lucky to have 300 people. You changed that immediately. First recruiting class, 90%, 85 to 90% South Florida kids, same thing here. Because you know this area so well, and you know how vital it is to put some people in the seats, and the way to do it is with the local kids. How important was that, especially this time?
Well, Larry, obviously, I think if you're going to be successful, certainly just about any program in the state of Florida, you've got to hit it with kids in your home, you know, in your own backyard. And having spent, you know, a significant amount of time at the University of Miami and knowing how critically important it is to get kids from Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County over to Southwest Florida and in the immediate area around Lake Okeechobee, you just have to do that. And the great thing about it, Larry, is everybody knows, is that there's a ton of great players here, guys that love to compete, guys that love football. They come from programs where they're used to having to compete against, you know, other good, talented players. They're very well coached. So it's a great place to start with. And I think, you know, coming into the program, you just, you know, talking to our assistant coaches and said, you know, if we're going to do good, we've got to do a great job of recruiting locally as far as kids. And, you know, that's probably going to be the blueprint, you know, for the remainder of, you know, of my career, certainly at FIU, is to just try to go out and bring in as many talented kids from the local schools as possible.
Coach, when you got serious about taking the job, the one thing that had to play over and over is that you had to bring in coaches that can recruit. I mean, because you were like that, you were a extremely heavy recruiter wherever you went into living rooms or when you went to stadiums. You always made, and I watched you a lot, that you made an impact not only with the kids but their families, their friends, just to get to kind of know everybody. Recruiting has changed a lot. obviously head coaches can't go out and sell their product as much as they would like to, which is kind of, it's always been kind of strange to me.
Yeah, but, no kidding.
Yeah, but I mean, but not only that, is now you're getting an opportunity to try to get that in your assistant coaches. I mean, everything that your fibers, everything that you were raised on as far as recruiting, your assistant coaches have to be on that same page. Talk about that and the importance and some of these coaches that have really hit the pavement for him.
Yeah, you know what, Larry? I mean, obviously, you know, any head coach is absolutely not telling the truth if they don't say that a lot of the success that they have in recruiting relies a great deal on their assistant coaches. Working for Jimmy Johnson for 15 years, and, you know, a big significant amount of that was as an assistant coach. He had other very, very talented assistant coaches, Dave Wanstead and
sure.
Tony Wise, and a lot of the guys that were on his staff. You know, and we, you know, obviously recruited, learned a lot of things about Jimmy, and you know, we were kind of the ambassadors when you went into the homes and tried to sell the program, because obviously Jimmy couldn't go into every single home. And,
no.
And so you had to do those kinds of things. So, you know, creating the staffs that I had at Miami, the staffs that I had at North Carolina, now at FIU, you want guys that, you know, they are hungry to go out and recruit. They love the challenge. They love going in and competing for the talented players. You want them to be able to be guys that can sell the program. And, you know, we're very, very fortunate. You know, we've got some guys on our staff that have got some ties and roots in South Florida.
Sure.
And, you know, and so those guys, they do a great job. And, you know, they connect with the kids. They connect with the high school coaches. They can, you know, kind of help paint the vision of the things that I'm impressing upon them to try to sell in the homes about education and academics and building a program that'll give them an opportunity not only to leave with a college education, but to get an opportunity to play in the National Football League. That's what every kid, you know, hopes for. And, you know, I've been blessed, Larry. I mean, obviously I've had 36 first round draft choices that I've recruited or coached, and 125 kids have made it to the NFL. So, you know, all of those kinds of things are the things that we're trying to sell at the program at FIU currently.
Yeah, no doubt. Butch Davis, FIU head coach, joining us. As you're speaking, I'm thinking of all those guys that that you've coached and we've had the pleasure of watching. But with FIU, sometimes at that level, it takes better eye evaluation than most people realize, because you have to, kids that are getting passed over for a reason, they're kind of like projects. And some of them that are maybe tweeners that you may see, listen, this kid could be a rush end. You know, for us, he could be a rush end.
Sure.
He may not be fast enough to play a linebacker, but for us, he could do this. That's something, too, that a lot of people don't understand. If you're going to build a successful program, especially at this level, you have to be better recruiters and you have to be better evaluators than everybody in your conference, because they have the availability of the same kids. You just have to be able to project. You've done that in both classes. Talk about that and how valuable that's been.
Well, you know, Larry, I mean, I think that there's a certain element of that that's absolutely true. But one of the things I think, you know, in the programs that I've had, you know, we've looked at kids and said, do they fit the culture? Do they fit the environment? And do they have enormous upside? And let's go back and dial it back to the University of Miami and fans that followed that program. I mean, Santana Moss was a young man that had no scholarship.
Right.
You know, Ed Reed and Reggie Wayne were guys that were hugely underappreciated.
Yeah.
They weren't recruited by any of the schools, LSU and Texas A&M and some of the schools in the area where they were from. And so, you know, when you see kids like that and, you know, you just identify guys that you say, you know what, these guys have the athletic ability, you know, that gives them a chance to have a huge upside. And one of the things, Larry, that is a big thing, you think about this, we've signed 22 high school kids this year. 18 of the 22 kids that we signed were multi-sport athletes.
Nice.
I am absolutely infatuated, and I love it, and I always have. I like recruiting kids that after football season's over with, they go play basketball, they're on the wrestling team, they play baseball, they run track, they like to compete. And so sometimes those kids aren't as close to being the finished product as maybe the so-called somewhat, you know, four-star, five-star guys that everybody gets so infatuated with, because, you know, maybe they're 20 pounds lighter because they play three sports. And
yeah.
They don't get in an off-season lifting program. And you have to identify, you know, those types of kids. And how much upside do they actually have? I mean, literally, Larry, there's kids all across the country that in my personal opinion, they're 17 and 18 years old, and they are almost the complete finished product. They're 6'4", they're 295 pounds as a senior in high school, and they look fabulous. They look unbelievable. The sad thing is that 4 years later, they go to a Division I college football program, and they're 6'4", and they're 297 pounds.
Exactly.
And they're not any bigger. They're not any better than they were in their high school football program. And so, you know, there's a certain traits of things that you look for in those kinds of types of athletes. And it's just, you know, I think it's, you know, regardless of whether what school or program that you're at, there's a certain, you know, thing that you know that you want to do as far as evaluating those kind of kids and bringing them into your program, because there is huge upside to them.
Yeah, no doubt. Butch Davis joining us. I'm Coach. As I was looking at three guys of this class that I think probably depict what you guys are after, kids that were kind of like just around the radar screen, but I think they have a chance to blow up. Donovan Georges from Champagnat Catholic as an inside kid, as linebacker. Ivan Thomas, who I think really, I mean, I can't press it upon people or not. From 15 to 20 yards in, he's almost impossible to cover. I mean, you either pass interfere with him or he scores a touchdown. And Sean Peterson, this is a kid who is a mountain of a kid. I mean, he looks like Eddie George as a running back because he runs straight up, but he's also has that athletic ability to crush you at linebacker. Talk about those guys. And are those the three type of kids that you're looking to recruit like annually?
Great call, Larry. I mean, because obviously I think you nailed it. I mean, Donovan George, I mean, when we watched him on film, he was a kid that was making tackles sideline to sideline. He was big, he was strong, he was physical. And one of the innate traits that you look for in linebackers is what kind of instincts do they have? And, you know, he has the ability to get into a hole before the running back gets there because he's already read it, diagnosed it, and he can get there and he can make the play. And we're unbelievably excited about, you know, what he's going to bring to the program. Ivan Thomas, I think you did a great job of nailing him because he's one of those hybrid type of guys that he's got some of the athletic traits in some respects like a wide receiver, but he also has some of the traits that can be like an H-back or a tight end. When you're looking for mismatches and the opportunity to misplace a guy like that in a personnel group or in a formation that maybe says, you know what, if we do this, we can put him on a safety that's got no chance of covering him, or we can put him in a situation where a linebacker cannot cover him, and we can create those kinds of things. And not to say, because one of the things that I hate doing, Larry, is I hate making, you know, comparisons to certain guys, but there's not a whole lot of difference between Ivan Thomas and Kellen Winslow Jr. Kellen was a wide receiver when he came to the University of Miami in high school at San Diego. And he was able to do a lot of those same things in high school that you could move him around and put him against certain people. And obviously you can see the career, you know, the way his turned
out. Definitely.
Sean Peterson, you used one analogy. We talked about him being somewhat like Eric Dickerson, the upright running position. It's a 6'3", big, strong, powerful guy that has the ability, you know, everything, you know, there's a certain blueprint of types of guys. We also made a little bit of an analogy of like Najee Davenport, who was a 245-pound, just unbelievable, physical, powerful running back. And Sean, again, like you said, I mean, here's a kid that played, you know, he could play linebacker, he could play running back. I mean, there's a lot of ways that he could help your program win.
Yeah. You know, Coach, I also remember Chuck Muncy, may he rest in peace, once told me that when you're a big running back like that, he says he remembers that Ronnie Lott came up to make a tackle on him. His helmet hit his thigh and Ronnie got knocked out. So anytime you got a big back like that, anything could happen. Yep. They could wreak havoc. Coach, I can't say enough. Thanks so much for joining us. If you're an FIU fan, you got to be over the moon because what you guys are doing over there is awesome. Hope to get out to a couple of practices, and again, thanks so much, Coach.
Yeah, it's great talking to you, Larry, and you're always welcome. We get started March the 6th with spring practice, and we'll be going for probably about a month and a half, so we'd love to see you and have you come to practice and watch and get a chance to see some of these new players.
Good stuff. Thanks so much.
You bet, Larry. Have a good night.
Coach Butch Davis from FIU. Great guy, but just knows the game so well. And it's nice to see a lot of our local kids ending up in South Miami. It's just, you know, we need that. I mean, you need that throughout South Florida, but there as well. I'll tell you what, when you get in, last week, as we said, we had seven new high school coaches on the air last week. And when we got off, I got texts, and they go, you know, Stranahan's a new coach. I said, yep. And I says, and he'll be our marquee guy. And Travis, certainly Travis Harden is the new coach at Stranahan. Great program, great atmosphere, and he joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. You there?
How you doing?
Yeah, good, yeah, good. Yeah, no, congratulations on the job. I know it's a tremendous position. I mean, if you've, anybody's ever been around Stranahan, great kids, tremendous athletes, hard worker. You just need people to come in there and believe in them. And so far, you've gotten the ball rolling. Talk about yourself and what put you in this position, and certainly how you look forward to the coming years.
Well, first and foremost, Larry, thanks for having me. I came through the ranks of Coach Blair at Boyd Anderson.
Right.
Coach Davis there at Plantation. And lastly, Coach Glenn at Deerfield. I put in my time, you know, yep. Learning the game. And so from there, the opportunity came about for me to go back home. You know what I mean? I'm an alumni of Stranahan, graduated in 2001. Mm. So I know, you know, the importance of tradition there and where it was and where it needed to be.
Yeah.
And when the opportunity came about, Larry, I put in my application, man, and did my interview. And it was a blessing to be named the head coach.
No doubt. And you know what I was going to say, too? You back in 2001, that was a very good – that was a pretty good Stranahan team, if I can remember. Wasn't that a playoff team? That was a playoff team.
Yeah, it was a playoff team from 98 to actually 2001.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember that. Good kids.
The winning and the tradition there was at an all-time high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when we played tough games, you know, when we did lose, we actually lost from anywhere from 5 to 6 points.
Yeah.
When we did lose. And we had number one defense in the state sometimes. And the county,
yep.
You know, so, you know, we was doing our thing, man. And I'm just trying to bring back, you know, that winning tradition at Stranahan and just bring back the essence of being dialed in.
Sure.
You know, with the program, you know, and I got some great group of coaches around me who have the same vision, the same mindset as I do, you know. And so the kids is feeding off that energy, doing well with the off-season workouts. And, you know, we just 3 weeks in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So the kids decided, the coaches decided. It's a very new mindset, a very new spirit going on right now for the football program.
Coach Travis Harden joins us, new head coach at his alma mater, Stranahan. When you take a look, Coach, the mantra of Stranahan throughout the years was great defense. I always remember, even back in the 70s and the 80s when they had all those studly kids back in the day, it was always defense. I mean, if they would lose games, it would be 12-10. You know what I mean?
Right,
they were always in it. Whenever you left, you always knew you played a pretty decent team. Is that what you're looking to get back to? I mean, to have, like, the defense was king, I know, but you have to get some offense, and these days kids like get excited by offense, but you win with defense. I'm a firm believer in that, because you could change the tempo of the game. You look at St. Thomas, mm-hmm. where they didn't have the best offense last year, but St. Thomas had a really good defense, and they slanted the field and they caused turnovers. Talk about that. I mean, I think if you build that defense first, that like Stranahan did in those days, I think you come up as a winner. Talk about your game plan and what you're planning to do over the next year or so.
You're absolutely right, Larry. I'm a defensive-minded guy, defense win championship.
Yep.
Coming from Deerfield Beach High School, where our defense was phenomenal. I'm taking that mindset to bring back Stranahan. Like I stated before, man, we're going to be physical. We're going to be playing fast. And most importantly, we're going to be tackling, because I feel like those three concepts defensively, in addition to causing turnovers, you know, it's going to win ball games for us.
No doubt.
You know, offensively, you know, they're going to come around. You know, they're going to do their thing. But defense, we're going to be a defensive team.
when you take a look at this program, and obviously through the years, I mean, they've always had a their kids were a little bit better classroom wise. Their college coaches hung around Stranahan all the time because they knew their athletes were because of the magnet programs, because of the special programs at the school, which are still in place. So you get to recruit a different type of kid, which is great. I mean, because you know that you can invite college coaches of all types on your campus and not even have to worry because these kids make it in the classroom. Talk about that and how important. As if parents are listening now and they're thinking about Stranahan as a, you know, their kids in seventh, eighth grade, maybe in the next year or so. Talk about that and how strong the academics are and how well respected the academics are.
Absolutely, Larry. Our magnet program, it's a pre-med medical field, the magnet program. If you're looking to get in any kind of medical industry, once you become an adult, pediatrician, you know, things of that nature. That's the place to be. We have not one of the best magnet programs in the state.
Right.
Definitely the county. I feel like that. The magnet coordinators feel like that. The schools feel like that. Because what we're doing there academically is challenging our students, you know, for career readiness, college readiness.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, not a knock on the private school. You don't have to pay for education because we have it right here at Stranahan.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Travis Harden joins us, new head coach Stranahan. The Dragons are just a couple years removed from competitive football. I mean, this is a program that can play. They have a lot of athletes. When you take a look at some of the kids, have you had an opportunity to talk with some of the returners and they share the same passion that you do?
Absolutely. We actually did that today for the most part. We have, for my 2019 class, a few standouts who's going to be very special. And Trefonte Cunningham, we have Jonathan Solomon, who's going to be very special.
Very good athlete. Very good athlete.
Very good athlete. He's going to be coming back very, very, very explosive offensively. Yep. Trefonte is going to be that leader of the defense. We can be able to play him somewhere, everywhere. His IQ is very high as well.
Yep.
We also have another guy, David Herrera. He's currently playing basketball right now. But, Larry, when you see this guy, Larry, I mean, he's phenomenal. He's 6'2", 175. He's passed the eye test in regards to being recruited. We also have he's a 2020 kid. We also have another 2020 kid by the name of Anthony Robert. He's an offensive lineman. He's 6'4", 275. And, you know, it's just a matter of getting these kids exposure, getting these kids buying in, going into the summer, gaining good weight, not just weight, but good weight, good muscle weight.
I agree. I mean?
And just have them being dialed in. I mean, the kids are excited. Like I say, we're excited. We're ready to go. We have our goals set, short-term goals. We have our long-term goals set, Larry. And it's, I mean, the feeling and the excitement today was very phenomenal.
Good stuff.
Our goal right now is to win the day, you know, defeat yesterday.
I hear you.
That's,
hey, listen, then things are a lot easier. If you don't look at everything as the entire whole, then you just conquer it one step at a time. It's not as daunting, and I'm waiting for you. I know you're going to do an awesome job. I look at your defenses in the past, and and for if you're a Stranahan fan, you got to be excited. Defense is returning, and I'm excited. We're going to get out there, watch you a little bit during the spring, and we'll see what's going on. I know what to expect, Coach. I know you're going to have some athletes. You're going to be disciplined. You're a disciplined coach, and you know that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think the people are all around Fort Lauderdale and Stranahan Nation are excited. And again, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations, and certainly the Dragons have a real good one.
Thank you, and you're more than welcome to come out, Larry.
I will.
And, again, to my Stranahan Nation, hey, are we looking for your support? All right, this season and the rest of the years to come, and go Dragons.
Good stuff. Thanks, Coach.
All right, have a good one.
Travis Harden, new head coach at Stranahan. When we come back, we end hour one. Remember, we have 2 hours. We still have a whole five more guests to go. It's been a really good, fast-moving show. Still a little bit somber in a lot of ways when you're dealing with the Douglas situation, but that's going to be an ongoing thing that we all have to conquer and come up with solutions. You know, not pointing fingers, but you have to come up with solutions. When we come back, Dennis Mariquin, Florida Fire, will join us.
Radio.com.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday night. Larry Bluestein with you till 10 o'clock. Thanks so much to Coach Butch Davis from FIU. Also to Coach Travis Harden, new head coach at Stranahan, for joining us. Now we turn our attention a little 7-on-7 this past weekend. A couple of the programs from South Florida traveled all the way out to Las Vegas. And certainly Coach Dennis Mariquin, who was the head coach at Champagnat Catholic and resigned to take another position in business, has the fire going strong. He took all those kids out there. Won a 15-and-U event, and his varsity kids did extremely well. He joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Blue. Thank you for having me.
What a whirlwind weekend. I mean, you guys fly out of here Friday, come back early this morning, and take how many kids? 100? You took 100?
We took 111.
111. Wow. To Las Vegas for a tournament. And certainly the your 15 and under team won the title of the tournament, which
yes.
is awesome. I mean, and a lot of talent. That just shows that next year's fire is just going to be as good as this year with a lot of those kids. And then you had your fire, your Palm Beach Fire, and the Fire South all come down as well. Talk about that. I mean, and here you are. You have a bunch of coaches, but that's a lot of kids to keep, especially in a place like Las Vegas.
No, definitely a lot of work. You know, definitely a lot of responsibility. You know, keeping the kids safe is the key.
Right.
And, definitely having fun and just having us to come out here is wonders. You know, I mean, definitely the kids are very excited just to even coming out here, you know? I mean, even the coaches.
You take a look at the kids who, obviously you got teams from all over that play in these tournaments. It's gotten so big. I mean, I remember when traveling the USF that time for the tournament when you upended the South Florida Express for the first time, I thought that was big. Now you guys are all over the map. What is it like to go out there? I mean, certainly a time change. It was colder weather than the kids were used to. How do 15 through 18-year-old kids react to that, especially if they've never been there before?
Oh, definitely a big change, you know, just you know, getting on a plane and you know, taking a couple planes, you know, just to get out here and just the, you know, different change of the hours and, you know, and the different weather, you know, definitely was cold and, you know, it's definitely, it's different, a different atmosphere.
Yeah.
And definitely got to learn the different elements of what's happening, you know?
And you take a look at some of the people who recruit out there. It's all Western-based area, Southern California, Arizona, those areas like that, which our kids are more used to, the Alabamas and the Tennessees and those type of programs recruiting. Do any of the colleges maybe take a look at some of your kids or maybe have people look at them, in events like that?
Oh, definitely. When you have, so different writers from different companies, and you have Steve Wilfong, which was there with 247
right.
Sports, director of recruiting. He's out there. He was actually watching most of our games. You know, we definitely had, more Division I kids in America were on our team.
Yeah. Then mostly anybody there, I'm sure.
Oh, listen, we brought the show. You know,
yeah.
We're out there, and you bring South Florida, Tri-County, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. You know, you definitely bring the show.
Yeah.
You know, 96 varsity teams playing and competing against each other. You know, it's big time exposure for the kids. They get to play against other kids from other states that maybe they never play, or maybe they will play at the Division I level or other levels of the game.
But to go out there, I mean, and like I said, I mean, I don't know if any, and I was thinking about this the other day, Dennis, that you've got to account for those kids wherever. I mean, you got to make sure they eat, you got to make sure, you know, they're in bed at the right time. I mean, you know, it's like really a lot of work. I mean, and obviously you know, all your coaches, obviously your coaches have been great, haven't they?
Amazing coaches, amazing mentors. Definitely done wonders, and, you know, you can't ask for more from them. Definitely done a great job with the kids. And, you know, when you come out here, you know, you play some football and, you know, definitely want to compete. And obviously, you know, you take them around, too. You know, we took the kids around the strip for Las Vegas and let them see how it looks. And you get to eat at a different restaurant that they don't have down in the East Coast, you know what I mean, or even the South. So, you know, you get a little bit of In-N-Out Burger, you know, in the box. Or a little White Castle, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, you get different little things that they haven't tasted, and, you know, they're excited, you know, and, you know, put them in a couple buses with, you know, and bring them down to play with, you know, with lights and, you know, just the Vegas atmosphere. And you know, it definitely was a great experience, you know.
And you had mentioned, I mean, you had a ton of kids. I mean, ton of big-time kids like Akeem Dent, who's like one of the best in the country, and Taiwan Mullen went, and you had guys, you know, just big-time kids that are used to the exposure. What about some of the guys that weren't used to the exposure, and then all of a sudden they make a play, and you said all these different companies were there. Was that pretty tough for them, or were they just an average Florida kid who just kind of like accepts everything, you know? They always
do. You know how it is, Blue.
Yeah.
I believe we have the best talent in the country.
Yeah, by far.
Listen, we played, to me, you know, obviously we came in third out of the 96 varsity programs.
Phew, not bad.
But to me, Blue, when we're facing a ground zero team, which is based out of L.A., which is rich in, you know, in football as well.
Sure.
And these guys had two receivers that look like both like Gregory Rousseau. And they put them in the slot, and they're trying to get on our smaller guys. Definitely some big kids, you know. The Division I talent was rich on that field. You know, that was like a championship game. And, wow. And it was 14 up, and we ended up winning 36-14. But when you have guys like Marcus LaFrance go against a 6'7" guy, and he's putting his hands in his chest, and they're going at it, and you know, making plays. And
yeah.
Chris McDonough with three interceptions in that game. No, it was amazing, you know, to see these guys compete against other guys that are definitely guys that will be playing at UCLA and USC and those other places.
Yeah, against kids who will be playing at Alabama and Florida and all that too. So I mean, it's a great sampling. What's the schedule look like for you guys now? I mean, are you back at it again soon, or when do you start again?
Well, definitely, you know, we're looking at, you know, the next couple of tournaments, whatever comes out. We have to compete. We're trying to compete against the best, you know. Every week, if there's a tournament out there, we're going to try to hit everything, you know, and whatever we can. But I know the big tournament coming up is IMG.
Okay.
You got teams from, I believe that's in 2 weeks, and different teams from around the country come out there. So we actually got to defend our title because we won that last year. So.
Oh, that's right. You're the defending national champions. But I thought you'd win it this week, but you know, sometimes things don't go as planned. Looking at your roster that you sent out, I'll tell you what. That's going to be awfully tough to beat. I don't care where you are. I mean, there are kids on there that are big-time kids. The 2020 class, I kind of think the 2020 class, Coach, is going to be the class.
It's a very, very sick class.
Yeah.
You have on your Mark Britt and Junkway Lewis and, you know, those guys. And if you look at the roster I have, definitely 2020 rich.
And Deerfield alone with the 2020 receivers from Gowdy and all those kids that they got up there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I just wanted to hook in with you and check out what you guys were up to. You know, we'll be right there whenever you guys play. And just wanted to show you a little bit of love. I know that we miss you on the high school front, but certainly you'll be back. You'll be back watching, I'm sure.
No problem, man. Thank you for having us. Definitely.
Anytime. All right, Coach. Thanks, man. I appreciate you taking the time. Dennis Mariquin, who's with the Florida Fire, they went all the way out to Vegas just for three days. Amazing, and played in a tournament and exciting as they as they have. I mean, you can't. I mean, if you look at the roster, I mean, that the Florida Fire have, all those big time kids, you're going to see them at all these schools like Alabama and Florida and Miami over the next couple of years. So, and FIU and FAU. So it's going to be exciting. If you are with us, do not go away. We're here until 10 o'clock this evening, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. I've had a cold, I guess you guys could tell a little bit, but I'm doing okay, you know, hanging in there. I mean, everybody has it. Just I had the flu shot, too, so maybe that's why I feel a little bit better. We thank so much our first hour guests, starting with Tyler Goodman from Douglas High School and also Coach Butch Davis from FIU and Coach Travis Harden, the new head coach at Stranahan, and Coach Dennis Mariquin. We're coming back. Four more guests coming up next.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Live from the Edmore Sugrass Chevrolet Studios. Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSugrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
And that is us to wrap things up for one more hour here on South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Larry Bluestein with you. What an exciting first hour, and I know we're going to top it here in the second hour. What a guest list, about 9:45 or so. Dan Jacob, the athletic director and head wrestling coach at Coral Springs, will join us. I mean, that's the closest school to Parkland Douglas. His affiliation over the years has been just so close with them. We'll talk to Coach Jacob about that, and also the upcoming state wrestling tournament, which will happen this Friday and Saturday in Kissimmee. Also about 9:30, Coach Chris Bowden from Miami's ASA, which is a really good program, loaded with kids from South Florida and all over. But I was glancing at the roster and saying, wow, I forgot he was there. But certainly an outstanding coach and a tremendous program. At 9:20, Josh Wilson, who's from Florida High School Football, will join us. Josh just put out the all-state teams last week. They were on everybody's everybody was tagging everybody with them. And so Josh is a very popular man all throughout the year. He'll join us as well. And we start things off here in our second hour with one of the players that who has emerged as one of the top kids in South Florida. I remember last year when I went to see him at the opening, he was about 6'1", 190. This year, almost 6'4", 225, 230 pounds. Deshaun Perry from Gulliver Prep, and he joins us. Deshaun, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me here, sir. Thank you. Thank
anytime. You so anytime. You know that for you, I'll do anything. I've watched you, and I've, I'm just, I keep getting more and more amazed at how hard you've worked and where you put yourself in that position. Talk about this, too. I mean, you're at Gulliver. There's a lot of kids. I mean, every year you have tremendous coaching. Talk about your career and how it's kind of taken off just in the last 6-7 months.
My career has been great, sir. You know, over the past few months, you know, I'm starting to blossom as a recruit for these colleges. You know, just taking it one step at a time, sir. Just evaluating the process, though. I'm just blessed to be here.
It's you know, being at Gulliver, it's a different program. I mean, you got a lot of really good kids at the school, a lot of good you know, teachers and coaches. Coach Sims, who I've known for a long time, this is a guy who pours his heart and soul into the program. He surrounds himself with outstanding coaches and is close to the community. Talk about him and how he's been part of your development as well.
To me, he's like a father figure. You know, every day from school, like, he comes and picks me up. So, you know, he's just been doing a lot for me, sir. He did a lot for me and every kid at Gulliver, not just from the football team. You know, just like a second dad for everybody. I really appreciate him for that.
And, you know, the environment at Gulliver, a little bit different, where there's a lot family-oriented, and I know that you've gotten close with a lot of people there, and everybody supports you. Through this last couple of months, as you've gone through that growth period, and a lot of colleges have paid off, you know, have started to notice you, rightfully so, because you've been involved in a lot of things. How have the coaching staff been? How has Coach Sims been all this? Have you sat down with him and talked about, you know, like the schools that have offered you, and do you use him as kind of a sounding board to you know, for the program since he's been around?
First, we had a talk. He told me to stay humble. You know, all these schools are going to come at you. You know, you got to keep a level head and pick the best school for you, you know.
Yeah.
And he's been with me through the whole way, Coach.
And you know, here's the thing, too. I mean, you've been invited to a lot of things. You played for the USA team last summer. I saw you at the tryout. That was an experience. And you've gotten an opportunity, to be invited to a lot of things and take part in it. And I know you're really thankful for that. But you've been able to showcase your skills, especially at the opening where you were, you know, anytime you're going to be in a setting where there's guys that are quote unquote 4 and 5 stars, you're always going to get a chance to show your, you know, what you can do. I mean, you did that. I mean, you had an opportunity to go against some of the top offensive linemen probably in the country at the opening alone and more than held your own. Talk about that experience and how you come out of that. And what do you think? Do you look at how you performed and try to work on things or more perfect things? Tell me how you go about evaluating yourself after an event like the opening or just anything that you attend.
The opening, it was a great experience. I got to showcase my talents. I guess a lot of athletes, you know, got to see the top prospects in the nation, but. You know, I'm never satisfied. You know, yeah. I work every day, you know, to better my techniques and my skills so I can become a better player through and through, Coach.
And the one thing, too, is you've worked on your quickness, and knowing that you're going to – I mean, your first step is crazy fast, but I've watched it. The one thing is your technique. Who's taught you most of that technique? Because, I mean, you just don't pick that up. I mean, I've watched your swim moves. I've watched, you know, you do a lot of you do anything to shake yourself free of a 6'5", 350-pound offensive lineman. Who's worked with you the most? Because you could really see it.
It's been Coach Sims. There's also been another coach named Coach James Callier. You know,
uh-huh.
Every practice we'll go on the sled, work hand techniques, you know, work how to get up shed blocks and
right.
Just progressions, you know. And I'm thankful for that too.
I mean, because you could see the difference over last year, not just in your size, but just in your, you know, your agility and the things that you do. Also, I mean, this is, as we're talking with Deshaun Perry, defensive end, Miami Gulliver Prep, you've had an opportunity for a lot of the schools to, you know, show interest in you. What's going to be the determining factor for you? I mean, I know that you guys are all educated minded, so that's going to very, you know, heavily play into the factors. But what are some of the things you're looking for when you're going to make a decision and you and your family sits down and coach sits down with you, what are the things on Deshaun Perry's checklist that you want to look for?
Like I said, education comes first, you know. Whatever school, you know, this my major the best, you know, that's what I'm rocking with. And second of all, I want, like, where I fit in on their defense, Coach.
Right.
A lot of defenses have me picked as a pass rusher,
uh-huh.
And you know I like that.
Yeah.
Whatever. Any defense that fits the pass rusher position, I'm in.
Do you set goals? I mean, because I'm telling you, this year, I have a feeling that like 20, 25 sacks is pretty much within your range, because it's going to be tough to keep you out without holding you. Because I've watched, because I've watched you work. I mean, believe me, you're not going to go against Evan Neal next every week, and you're not going to go against Dante Lucas every week.
Right.
So obviously, you've got a little bit of, you know, I mean, normalcy. You're going to have some normal teams. I mean, do you think, I mean, because I know the one thing that you've always told me is you want to be a leader on the team, too, and you've become that leader just on your hard work. You're not a really rah-rah, screamy guy, but you're what you are is you're a lead by example. Talk about that role and how you look forward to that this year.
My freshman year, I had leaders such as Joseph Jackson, you know, Brandon June, who kind of led the way, and they always told me that One day is your time to rise up to the position, Coach.
Right.
So just being here, I got to set the example, not just for my teammates right now, but my teammates from the past, Coach. And I think being a leader will represent that example.
Good stuff. Well, you've done an awesome job. I'll tell you what, we're going to keep following you. I know that there's going to be offers coming in almost daily after everybody sees you. You still got those June camps to go to and in college, sure, and get an opportunity to see. There's no July this year. I heard that they're not letting colleges host people this, or they're allowed to host them, but they're not allowed to have events on there. But hey, listen,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I saw. I mean, so everybody's taking advantage of it and maybe hosting more 7-on-7s locally, but that's okay. I know that June's going to be filled for you. I know there's a lot of football. You got spring, which I know you're excited about, but anyway you do it, I want to tell you and I let everybody know that Sean Perry's the new sheriff in town, man. You're the guy, and everybody's going to be watching you. You've worked hard, you grew, and I know that everybody's proud of you, and thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Coach.
Anytime.
God bless you, Coach.
You too. DeSean Perry, I'll tell you what, man, don't forget that name. This kid's on the meteor towards the NFL because he's just, the work ethic is amazing, amazing. And athletic ability is crazy. When we come back, we're going to pick Josh Wilson's brain from Florida High School Football. He just came out with his all-star team. We still have up until 10 o'clock this evening. Coach Chris Bowden from ASA Miami will join us at 9:30, and Dan Jacob, the athletic director, wrestling coach at Coral Springs, will join us. But coming up next, Josh Wilson.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Monday evening, Larry Bluestein with you until 10 o'clock. Thanks so much to DeSean Perry for joining us in the opening segment from Gulliver Prep. Now we turn our attention to Mr. Allstate, Josh Wilson from Florida High School Football. He just came out with his Allstate teams this past week, and Twitter was alive, Josh. Twitter was alive. You did a great job, and I know it's a lot of hard work, and congratulations, and welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's some restless days and nights.
Yeah,
That's
you know, I mean,
the easiest thing in the world.
No, not at all. And picking all classifications from Key West to Pensacola and beyond, and not easy. Now, is this the first time that I know you did something last couple of years, but maybe not this comprehensive? Or did you do it like this last year too?
Well, I've done it with the classifications. It's just, you know, I think it's worth it this year because of and the fact that there was no Associated Press All-State teams. Everybody was focused on, hey, at least we have some kind of All-State team. And, you know, it's really not about me when I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the kids. The kids, right, are the most important people in this group, you know, and you know, for their teams and stuff. And, you know, to see them go out, you know, especially a lot of these seniors, you know, that go out, you know, to be recognized for what they did on the field, especially the fact that we had a crazy 2017 season. You know, you're playing, some teams were playing 3 games in 6 days.
Yeah.
It's never easy. And one thing going through this, you know, I mean, the thing, you know, usually, you know, you'll have a lot of years where we'll have, you know, quite a good group of 2,000-yard running backs. This year, it was kind of, that number was smaller, and some of it goes back to Mother Nature and what she did to Florida.
Now,
it was still some good quality running backs. I'll tell you that.
There's a lot of talent. But when you choose, okay, let's say, I mean, is there input from schools? Do you look at, like, all area teams? How does that go?
Oh, all area team, all county teams. Almost every single one that had been published up to a certain point. I mean,
right,
we were talking almost at every corner of the state, you know, Miami all the way up to Pensacola, and then, you know, nominations from coaches, you know, and then, you know, and then also, you know, you kind of take into consideration, who did these players go up against?
Sure.
What kind of schedule did they go up against? Because, you know, you start looking at that, and I kind of threw out earlier, I mean, you know, looking at quarterbacks, what is their touchdown interception ratio? You know, if I see something with you're telling me how many touchdowns, but you're not telling me how many interceptions he threw, that's going to be a red flag, because you might be hiding something, and that's, you know, that's got to be all considered, because those numbers do matter, you know, when you're on the field, because, you know, if you're throwing as many interceptions as touchdowns, that might not be necessarily a good look.
Yeah,
that's just how I look at it.
But then you have a kid like Carpenter from Venice who put up ungodly numbers. I mean, just so. And we watched him, and he's for real. He beat St. Thomas pretty much by himself. So he's.
He beat Barton Trail by himself in a lot of ways, and that's a big thing right there. And you know, when I look at it, and you know, the fact that he counted for over 60 touchdowns and stuff like that, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah, and so those things are not those are the no-brainerisms. But if you come across in an area where a kid may have been left off an all-county team locally for one reason or another, do you ever look into that? I mean, when you knew he had a good – well, I'm putting one kid that I would say because the kid Trey Flowers from Miami Palmetto. Now, he ran for 241 yards and 4 touchdowns against Naples, but yet the rest of his games were – you know, he had to bang heads with South Ridge, and he had in Naples. That was Naples' only loss going into the Northwestern game, and you know, guys like that. So he gets left out of the mix. And if it's one or two players, but somebody like him who's going to Penn, who you know achieved in that way too. I mean, I'm only looking at him as one example. How do we get people to nominate? I mean, you know, in the future. I mean, I'm just trying to think.
Coach is nominated. It's just, I think, you know, you look at certain classifications and you see, like, you know, I mean, I'll point out like 6A, you know, 6A. In my best belief, I feel like 6A is still one of the best classifications in the state and the entire country just because of what teams we got in that classification. And, you know, you go back to 8A, you know, 8A's just got a lot of parity in it, you know, and not just every year because sometimes you think like you can peg a state champion. But, you know, for the last few years, it just seems like, you know, it's like we've had one state champion, you know. Okay, we had Dr. Phillips this year, you know, we had South Ridge the year before that. And the year before that, you know, it was Flanagan. So it was like, it's rotating in and out as to who's in the mix. And, you know, I mean, I know we had that stretch there where Apaka was kind of, you know, running the show, you know, but it's really one of those things that you start looking at, and when you see the field stack, you know, it's kind of just hard, you know, to start, you know, figuring out, okay, where do you cut the line at? Where do you say, okay, who's making the honorable mention and who's not? Because, you know, if you just throw everybody on honorable mention, it goes really, you know, into my belief that, you know, really not everybody – can't get everyone a medal, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I know there's been a lot of that talk these days.
Yeah, no, I agree. Josh Wilson, Florida High School Football, joining us. The one thing, too, is in your area, Gainesville, I mean, because you have a lot of little areas, Cross City and Bradford and, and Bell and all those and Interlochen and all those areas. And Middleburg, I have to mention your alma mater somewhere along the line. But, I mean, so you take a look at some of those areas, and it's awfully tough, you know, to let's say you look at a Middleburg and you have to put them against like Ocala kids who, you know, play Vanguard and Westport and, you know, so talk about that, how you do that too.
Well, it's really, that's the factor, you know, and it's really, I look at this again, it's about, you know, who's played who and, you know, and, you know, another thing is, okay, are you making the playoffs or something like that? Because I feel like that's, like, you know, are you able to get your team to the playoffs? Are you able to get your team in that contention zone of being in the playoffs, given the point system? You know, some teams are just right on the outside looking in. And I consider that, you know, and that's a whole big thing. And to be honest with everybody, nobody from my alma mater was even considered for All-State.
Oh, come on.
It was one of those seasons again. But, hey, I expect it. So it's kind of like one of those things, you know. This is like, and really it kind of helps me to be honest. You know, it's like I look at it and I'm like, hey, I know how my alma mater does. So, I don't have a bias to anybody. You know,
Don't worry.
Go out there and show out on the field.
Look at you.
You know, that's my thing.
You're becoming angry in your older age at 30, I think. So, you know, the thing I was going to – 31, that's right. I was going to ask you, now you go right into girls, the flag football, and I know that's becoming huge, and we have a lot of tremendous teams as well. Is this Pinkos' ranking that you run as well? Does he do those?
He's been doing. I'm not sure if he's doing it this year. I've kind of talked to him about it, but the one thing about flag football is where, you know, I mean, you get areas where you get, okay, you get the Miami Master schedule and some of these areas where they're really good concentrated, you get the Master schedule. or you get the group of schedules from those schools, and it works out pretty well. But
right.
You know, there's still pockets, the areas where it's like you go on the school site, there's no schedule. But at the end of the day, you know, would you say, you know, it's growing, and it is growing. And, you know, I mean, I can point out right now, there's a district in Broward County got 12 teams. I mean, you need 12 teams. We've got one district right just south of me in Marion County, between Marion County, Citrus County, and Putnam County. Those counties alone, they're 14 teams. They're split up into two sub-districts, and that's the really in Tallahassee, it's booming. It's booming in areas where they're having to do these sub-districts, and I'm really thinking the Florida High School Athletic Association is going to be looking at a third classification. They just added a second classification now three years ago, and that this will be the third year that they'll be under two classifications, and there's already talk that, hey, three might be coming up because of the number of teams that are either adding on or
well, that's good. That's a good thing. That's, I think.
And Dennis, how about Venice? Venice is joining into the fold this year.
Wow.
I mean, this is, you know,
amazing.
So, hey, you know, let's see if they become a live football power next. And really now it's a true Pensacola down to Miami, because the Pensacola schools are now into it as well. So it's booming.
Good to see. Well, I appreciate you jumping on and letting us get inside your brain on the all-state teams. I think next year it'll get better, and it'll be better after that. So you're doing an awesome job, and thanks for coming on and explaining all that. And I know it's a lot of work, and it's to get, you can't get it 100% right, but you could work at it.
You work at it. You listen. You try to listen to coaches. You try to look at everything. You try to take everything into consideration. And you know, this is again about the production on the field. What do you do on the field? You know, that's the good stuff. That's the thing for working hard. And you know, hey, go to FloridaHSFootball.com, and that's where you can find them all if you haven't seen them yet.
Good stuff. Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it, Blue.
All right, take care. Josh Wilson from Florida High School Football, and does an awesome job. Switch gears, college football, ASA Miami. Always, I'll tell you what, I just glancing at the roster the other night, I'm impressed. Coach Chris Bowden and his deal, I'll tell you, they are doing an excellent job. You have had an opportunity to watch his team in the fall, get a chance to watch it, and Coach joins us this evening. Coach, I'm impressed by that roster, I'm telling you, and you got a lot of South Florida stars on it.
Yeah, no. How you doing, Les?
good. Thanks for joining us. And but you got some kids. I mean, I look at there and, oh, I forgot he went there. And, you know, that's amazing. And just to get those kids, you know, an opportunity to get to that next level, I mean, that must be quite a reward for you and your coaching staff.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we had 10 kids signed so far, you know, Division I, 1AA, or D2 so far. And then, you know, after probably April, probably at least like 7 or 8 more. So it's been good. You know, it's definitely
the most impressive. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. The most impressive thing. And then I continue every game I go to, your coaches are there. And I mean, to have presence. And then I've always maintained that, Coach, that if you have presence at as many events and games as possible, the kids are going to know who you are. And that's been, I think, such a positive. Talk about that. And where was it that you felt that you needed to send your coaches out to so many games? I mean, was it important that you covered South Florida that way?
Yeah. You know, recruiting Dade, Broward, counties and Palm Beach, that's the most important thing to us. So, you know, I told our coaches, you know, last year in the spring, we need to go out, any all-star games, anything, you know, we need to be at, you know, we need to be there. And, mm-hmm. you know, they've done a good job with that. And it's continued, even though the coaching staff there's been some turnover from last spring, but, you know, they've still done a tremendous job. And, you know, like it's something that we enjoy going out to, and they enjoy going out to all these events. And you know, it's just, you know, it's a part of our job that's fun, you know, to be out there on Friday nights, on Saturdays for camps or whatever it is.
Yeah. Talk about some of the kids that you're looking to push this year. I mean, kids that we all know, and I've seen a few of them on there. Talk about some of the players that you feel that they've worked hard and they're at that level where this could be the year that they take off.
Yeah, you know, I really think this is the year that, you know, we're going to have a bunch of BCS kids.
Nice.
You know, just going into year four, having the scholarships kind of ironed down, you know, having the dorms where they are in Hollywood on the beach. So, but, you know, we return our starting quarterback, Matt Winsler, and he was a Toledo transfer. You know, a big 6'4" kid, very athletic. He's from Ohio, but I think he's got a very high ceiling. I got Michael Crespo, one of our offensive linemen from Reagan High School. He's going to end up being a BCS guard. He started every game for us at right tackle. He's a nasty player. And, you know, he's going to be a mid-year kid next year. I have Darryl Malone out of Cypress, Cypress Bay, who transferred in from Coastal Carolina. And, you know, he's a 1A corner. He's a good player. And then, you know, I got, you know, Temple placed the defensive line. Who's I think going to blow up into a big time BCS defensive tackle. But you know, I got a lot of guys. There's a lot we got returning offensively, defensively. We've signed kids already that, you know, I'm really excited about. You know, to see where we're going to be at defensively next year.
Well, now, what do you do during the spring? I mean, what's your objective for spring as far – I mean, because obviously you have some new players on the roster and you want to get them in the mix. What do you look to get out of the spring?
Number one, I mean, we lift 4 days a week. You know, we lift hard.
Right.
You know, we lift, we run on the same day. We're set up pretty nice up in Davie where, you know, the guys we use, you know, they got a facility that we can do both at. And then, you know, we go into spring ball, we got 15 practices, and, you know, after that, there's a short break, and then we're right into summer, and we get the kids back, and it's the same thing. You know, we're lifting them 3 or 4 days a week around the field. So, you know, the spring is great because, you know, we get a lot of mid-year kids transferring in, and, you know, it's a good chance for everyone on our team to get kind of a good evaluation from the spring because we have a varsity team and we have a JV team.
Right.
And during spring ball, it's all combined, which is great. And there's a lot of kids that, you know, that play great on our JV that end up earning scholarships that, you know, really end up helping us. It happened this year as well. So, but, you know, really from spring, we're very similar from, you know, from other four-year colleges. The recruiting aspect of it, you know, we signed, gosh, I think we signed around 12, 15 kids on signing day.
Wow.
And, you know, we got some big-time kids that, you know, we were excited about getting. So, the recruiting process at the JUCO level pretty much never ends. It just continues and continues. You'll be in training camp, and it's like, oh, this kid didn't make it at UM. All right, bring him in. Let's see if we can get him enrolled. So, but you know, where we're at right now, I'm very excited about the kids we signed.
You know, also, Coach, when you take a look at it, your relationships with the four-year colleges have to be just amazing because you look at schools throughout the years like Snow and Ricks and, you know, all these junior colleges, Blinn in Texas, that had just like pipelines to all these colleges like A&M or Minnesota or whatever, be Ellsworth and as well. You look at some of those junior colleges, you guys are just starting to do the same thing. You're tapping into these four-year schools that are Division One, and especially with this group now, you may have, like you said, 10 guys. How important is that? I mean, because, I mean, they have to be invaluable that if you sent kids there in the past and they worked out, they're going to keep coming back to you.
Right, absolutely. You know, it's all, I mean, this whole business is about relationships, networking, and with the recruiting aspect. I mean, I have 4 years. Multiple times during the day, hey, go look at this kid, go look at this kid, he's not going to make it, you know. And, you know, it works both ways.
Yeah.
The recruiting side is very fun because you're on both sides of it, where you're recruiting in and recruiting out.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, having a great relationship with four-year schools. And it's very similar to what we did up in New York by, you know, starting ASA College up there and, you know, starting the football program. And really it was kind of the same, almost the same kind of structure that's been going on down here is that you really feel by year four up there, we ended up going undefeated and our kid, you know, it kind of exploded. And that's at least that's the way it looks like it's going down here with the kids we have, with the kids that are signing us. You know, I think we're right on.
Good stuff.
Of doing something special.
Good stuff. Well, Coach, I appreciate you checking in. What we'll do is that right after spring, we'll check back in with you and we'll see, you know, who looks good coming into the summer. And again, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Great. All right. Thank you, Larry.
Anytime. Thanks. Coach Chris Bowden from ASA Miami. When we come back, we wrap up our 2 hours. Dan Jacob, athletic director, wrestling coach at Coral Springs, will join us next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Florida HighSchoolSports.com radio show for a Monday night. Larry Bluestein with you. Thanks so much to Coach Chris Bowden from ASA Miami and also to Josh Wilson from Florida High School Football. You know, the events up in Parkland over the last 12 days have been tough on everybody, and certainly when you're one of the closest schools to it, as Coral Springs is, and your ties to the program as one of, if not your, you, one of your biggest rivals, and certainly Dan Jacob, who has been a wrestling coach for over three decades in South Florida and is the athletic director at Coral Springs, kind of went through this firsthand, knowing all parties involved, and it's tough on everybody who joins us this evening. Dan, thanks so much for taking the time. I know this, even though the week has been so tough on the people that went to Douglas and those, it's tough on everybody, and you guys being one of the closest schools and a program that has knocked heads with them for years and years and years, have felt it as well.
Oh, absolutely. Probably the one of the worst things I've had to experience. And but, you know, it's just amazing how not only the wrestling community, but just the entire area, the entire county, and even nationwide, people threw so much support behind all the efforts to try to honor the victims and help out the victims and the families of the victims. I mean, that was really quite impressive.
The outpouring, especially, and it was probably your first encounter with any of the athletes, is when you held the district or the district wrestling tournament only 2 days before the region wrestling tournament on that Wednesday, and when the Douglas wrestlers came into the gym, heavy hearts, but certainly you guys showed a lot of class by you know, welcoming them in and hugging them and embracing them. Talk about that moment, because I thought that was special, especially because, you know, wrestling is probably the last thing on a lot of people's minds.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, we were impressed that they wanted to wrestle. They wanted to do it in honor of Chris.
Right.
And so what we decided to do was we held up the tournament. We changed the start of the time because the wrestlers had voted from Douglas to go to the mass. So we moved the time of the tournament to 1 o'clock. They were running late coming back, and we delayed the start of the tournament until actually 2 o'clock. They got back about 1:15 to 1:20. And when they walked into the gym, we had all the wrestlers and coaches form two lines that from the gym doorway all the way to the wrestling room. And they were able to walk through this line and to a standing ovation from not only the coaches and wrestlers, but all the fans that were there. And it was really a powerful moment. And then it got better, because as they got into the room, we Bluetoothed a phone call from Kale Sanderson.
Wow.
Who had some words of inspiration. And then on top of that, before the finals, we had a video tribute that was sent in by Dan Gable.
Whew.
That we were able to play for the entire gym that was packed. And it was really very moving. You could have heard a pin drop when he was talking. It was so powerful. And I'll tell you what, I think all those things together, plus the fact that they wanted to wrestle for their coach, I mean, Douglas finished a strong second place in there when I don't think anybody expected them to be anything above fourth. So hats off to them. They wrestled fantastic. I mean, it was really an awesome night overall. I mean, obviously we would like to have it under better conditions, but I mean, they made their coach proud that night. I think Chris was looking down smiling.
Talk about Chris Hickson. You've known him for a while, you know, being athletic directors, being wrestling guys, so you're both in that same mold at all the time. Talk about that and you know, the special bond.
Well, I'll tell you what. I knew Chris. I first met Chris when he was a wrestling coach at Ely, and I'll tell you, we hit it off right away. He was just the nicest guy I probably have ever met. I mean, I've never met a guy that was so gracious and so offering all the time to do things for you if you needed a favor. And then when I became the AD, in the middle of a school year, and Chris was the guy they sent over to kind of fast track me. And I'll tell you what, he donated his time so unselfishly and was always available. And I'll tell you what, he really, you know, was the guy that all of us ADs in the North would always call. And it was kind of fun when he was coaching again, wrestling, because we used to talk about that all the time, that, you know, it's kind of come full circle. He's coaching again and how much he loved it. And I had actually just talked to him that morning about the district tournament. So we had a real, really, really good relationship. Working-wise, he was an excellent guy, and I'm proud to say that he was a friend.
Good stuff. Dan Jacob is the head wrestling coach at Coral Springs. Finished second in the region this last week. How many kids you send in the state this week?
Seven guys.
Did you approve that through your athletic? Oh, you are the athletic director. Because I know that a lot of times you guys always got to approve all these kids going and getting vans and getting hotel rooms. So I guess you kind of bridge that gap.
All taken care of.
Yeah, I figured. You talk about a guy like Aaron Feiss, a product of that Northwest Broward area, somebody who all the coaches knew in football, one of those guys that always spoke up for all the kids and push them along, and you know people who have coached with him and have certainly been friends with him for a long time. Talk about him as well.
Well, I tell you what, I think I don't remember exactly the first time I met Aaron, but I know that every time we went to a wrestling event, whether it was at Douglas or that they were coming to our place, he was always there, and yeah. He would go out of his way to come over, shake my hand. We would converse a little bit. If we went over for a football game, I'd walk out to the field. He would always be there. Always, again, the same type of a guy like Chris was, that he was always so giving, so friendly, so real. You know, he's yeah. real and down to earth. He wasn't putting on an act. He really cared about the kids. And I think that's pretty much, you know, him and Chris, if you kind of look at the events that kind of transpired, you could just see that him and Chris were very similar in the way that they put themselves before everybody else. They've always been like that. And anybody you talk to will say the same thing, that those two guys just class all the way.
Good stuff. Dan Jacob, who's the athletic director and wrestling coach at Coral Springs High School. Good luck this weekend. We'll see you, and appreciate your impressive words about a program and a couple of guys who really made an impact.
It did. Thank you very much, Larry.
Okay. Dan Jacob, we'll wrap up a two-hour show. We started it off with way back at 8:05 with Tyler Goodman from Douglas and ended up with Dan Jacob from Coral Springs talking about some of his friends that he lost. We're back next Monday. Have a great week. Thanks, Matt, and we'll see you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.